So the last week we began in Matthew 4, and we talked about Jesus' ministry, the start of his ministry, and how that he really started with repentance, you know, calling people to repentance, just where John the Baptist had left off. Now he had began there as well. John, we know, is in prison, and so Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And really, the imprisonment of a friend triggered his ministry, right? And so we talked about our triggerings and how the Lord triggers us through His Holy Spirit and allows us to the ability to sense Him so that we can move forward in what He's given to us. And so Jesus went into the Galilee and started to preach repentance as well. And it's interesting that He would start there, because so often in the church today, we don't think about repentance. We don't want to talk about repentance in our lives. But it's a normal process for us, right? We come to know the Lord, and we repent too. We repent. We continue to repent, you know, because there's things in our lives that we just need to continue to get right with the Lord. So it shouldn't scare you. It's something that's normal that Jesus wants us to be doing. Remember, His part is forgiveness. Our part is repentance, right? And so for us to turn away from our sin and to accept what He has done for us. You know, today, right, we're all here to celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord, right? So we're all here for that. So what's our part in this all? He's done His part. He's had victory over sin. So our part is to accept Him and also to repent from those sins. And so today we're going to take a look at a man that we're pretty familiar with, right? Simon or Peter. And we like to place ourselves in that. His spot. We can relate to him. We understand where he was coming from in a sense, because we've all had them knucklehead experiences, right? Or am I the only one here that's had that? Right? Can somebody testify, right? So we're going to see the Jesus impact here, the Jesus impact on Peter and where he came from and how he came to know the Savior that rose, you know, from the dead. So let's read through our text this morning in verse 18 of chapter 4. It says, "And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and he brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics. And he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan." This wasn't the first time that these guys had come in contact with Jesus, but it was a time that they had a decision in their lives. Right, that they had to decide whether they were going to pick up, that they were going to drop their nets and follow Jesus, or they were going to continue doing what they normally did. So I want to take you to Luke chapter 4, and I want to show you a little bit here of how they came to meet the Lord. So chapter 4, verse 36. Or, I'm sorry, 38 of chapter 4. Says, now he rose, Jesus arose from the synagogues and entered Simon's house. That's Peter. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever. And they made request for him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. There's a couple things here that Simon saw. One thing that he saw was Jesus was willing. He was willing to come into his house, right? Jesus is willing. He's willing to come into our lives. How out of sorts it is, he's willing to come into our lives, right? And sometimes so many people want us to clean up our lives before Jesus can come in and fix them, but we want him to come in and fix it. We want him to rearrange the shelves. We want him to sort out. We want him to clean, you know. I always feel like, you know, anybody can come as they are, right? But just expect that if you come as you are, you'll never be the same if you come to Jesus. If you come to me, you might walk out of here the same. But if you come to Jesus, Jesus will change you, right? And so that's why we say, come as you are, because we know that God, our God, is powerful. He's mighty. He's awesome. And he can change lives. So Simon had saw that Jesus was willing to come into his house. And he also saw that he was willing to step outside the synagogues. He wasn't attached to the religion of the day. But he was willing to step into the house of a sinner. And to sit with him, right? He got accused many a times of sitting with the sinners, right? But God's purpose and Jesus' purpose was that he would minister to them salvation, right? That he would come to that spot in their house. So Jesus was willing. He saw him being willing to step outside the religion. And sometimes I think we have to do that. We have to be willing to step outside this church. We have to be willing to step outside this thing we call Christianity. In all the terminology that we use and be real with people. Jesus wanted to be real. He wouldn't just sit there and not be real. Jesus wanted to be real with people. He wants to be real with you today. Right? So if you got sin in your life, Jesus wants to be real with you and he wants to identify that sin. And why? Because he wants to have you close to him. And your sin right now is separating you from him. And you'll never feel like getting closer to him unless you ask him to forgive you for your sins and walk away from that sin and run to him. Part of repentance is to step away from that sin, right? The next part is to run to him, to get close to Jesus and his word. So he saw that he was willing to step outside the religion of that day. He also saw that Jesus was approachable. You know, we can ask the Lord anything we want. He's that approachable that we can sit down with him and ask him those tough questions. Lord, can you reveal this to me? Lord, I am human and I doubt. Right? That he's able to be approachable. You know, one of the things that I always feel like when I go out on the streets, when I go out to witness, I feel like people need to know that I'm approachable. Right? So that I can share with them, so that they'll listen, so that they don't feel condemned by their sin. Jesus never wanted to condemn us. He wanted us to give us victory over our sin, right? So Jesus is approachable. He wants to hear our requests, as foolish as they might be sometimes, right? We think, we can't share that with the Lord because that's petty. That's too petty. That's too little. Now share it with the Lord. He wants to hear your voice. He loves talking to his children. Right? And if you're not his children, he would like to have you come in and and share with him so that he could, that you could become his child. So he saw that he's approachable, and he also saw that he was respondent. Because what did he do here? He healed the mother-in-law, right? You know, many times folks don't want Jesus to heal their mother-in-law, but Peter did, right? My mother-in-law is not here, so I can't pick on her too hard today. But sincerity, he really wanted to see her healed, and the Lord did that for them. And what happened to her here is a testimony in itself, but when the Lord did heal her, right, it says, and immediately she arose and served them. Something about when the Lord comes into our lives, that there's a difference. If there's not a difference in your life, I question whether he came into your life, that you allowed him to come into your life. Because there should be a difference in our lives. We should not walk around like Fred used to walk around, right? We should be different. And you know what? People should see the difference. There's something about you that has changed. I don't know what it is. And then they start questioning, and you get to share with them what Jesus did for you. So immediately she had victory. Victory in her life. And then as we pop down here to chapter 5. I want to read through chapter 11 here, or verse 11. Chapter 11 scared you there, didn't I? So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the lake of the Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him. We're in chapter 5 of Luke. Everybody got that? I hear a lot of pages, so I didn't know if I said something different. But he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When they had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Then Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you shall catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. So as we go back here in chapter 5, we see in chapter 4 there, Jesus says this. It says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets." He did two things here. He told them where to go, and he told them what to do. Right? Jesus had been teaching to the multitude, but he had also been teaching to the disciples as they were there as well. And he says to his disciples, "Now it's time for application." I always say, you know, the word is great if we would only take it and apply it. But if we take it and we don't apply it, it's just another book on the shelf that sits and collects dust and does us no good. It might further our knowledge. We might know more about God, but if we're not applying it, How is anybody else going to see that the Word is real, that the Word is living in our lives? So he says here, launch out into the deep and go and let down your nets for a catch. Then Simon answered and said, Master, he understood. He understood who Jesus was. He understood that he was master, that he was the captain of the ship. But you know what? We understand that too sometimes. We understand Jesus is the one sitting on the throne, right? But we're not always obedient. We don't always do what he says, even though we know it. We know that he's captain. We know that he's the master. And it says we have toiled. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. Have you ever been there where you've worked really hard and you're thinking, why am I doing this? I'm not catching nothing. Right? I'm not gaining anything from this. Why am I doing this? And sometimes it seems like a futile effort, and maybe perhaps it is if we're doing it all by ourselves in the flesh. All night, he says, and then we've caught nothing. But here he says, nevertheless, you know, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. You know, that toiling means that we're growing tired, that we're exhausted. Have you ever toiled all day and you get home from work and you're just exhausted, yet you can't think, you can't do much else other than sit and rest? And sometimes when we're in that position of that we've toiled and we've seen nothing come about, then finally we look up and we say, Lord, you got to do the rest. Right? He should have been there, you know, from the beginning, but somehow we've slipped through the garden and we forgot to bring our Savior along with us. You know, he's given us a perfect day, yet we forgot him in it all. It was a perfect day of fishing, however, we caught nothing. It wasn't to us what was the benefit in even going out, right? But look what happens here. He says, nevertheless, what does that mean? He says, no matter what, Lord, I'm going to do what you say, right? We got to come to that position in our walk with the Lord. We got to say, you know what, Lord, it might not make sense to me what you've asked me to do, but you know what? I know it's you, and I'm going to do it. Some of the commandments, maybe they don't make sense to you, why the Lord asks you not to commit adultery. Maybe that doesn't make sense. Why? Why is this so bad? Then we look around and we see the various diseases that's caused because of it. Whether it's in us, in somebody else, or our family. But it's destructive. And that's why God tells us, even though it doesn't make sense to us, we shouldn't do it. And when he tells us to do something, we should do it. When we hear his voice, right? When that Spirit of God is inside us and it pricks us, as it has many, that we take notice and we do as he's asked us to do. It says, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets broke. That great numbers of fish, in the King James says, a great multitude of fish, meaning it was hard to number, it was hard to put your finger on, it was this many, you know. But we know it was vast, we know it was a lot, because their nets started to break, right? Their nets started to break, and they signaled their buddies to come over and fill that ship. Their ship with fish. See, when the Lord's involved in it, there's some blessings here. When the Lord's involved in it, he increases our blessings. Now, a lot of people would like to say that he would increase us financially and all that, but that's not That's really not what the scripture is saying here. The scripture is really telling us if we're walking with the Lord, we're going to be blessed. Doesn't necessarily mean financially, right? But we're going to be blessed. We're going to be at peace with the Lord, right? And guess what happens here? He has to signal his buddies to come over. And his buddies came over, and they packed out that boat. See, when we're walking with the Lord, there's something about it. Others get blessed by it too. You know, I think of my family. When I'm walking with the Lord, my family's blessed, right? Right? It happens. It's an automatic thing for the Lord. The Lord wants us to be walking with Him. He wants us to be paying attention to Him. He wants, you know what He wants us to do? He wants us to ask. We're so afraid to sit down and waste some time talking to the Lord. Because that's what a lot of us think. The prayer meetings on Sunday night, you know, all I do is sit there and sit around and pray. What a waste of time. I'm a doer. I'd rather be out there doing it. But there's a problem with that, see. The problem is that you're doing the wrong thing. Because you never ask the Lord, hey, Lord, what do you think of this? What do you think I should be doing? Right? We get caught up in our own thoughts. Have you ever heard this? When you're explaining to somebody what the Lord showed you, they think, well, I think. Right? And all of a sudden, they're God. And He's not. And you're taking advice from somebody that's no better off. Right? We got to be careful. I always say, if I got a major decision, nobody's going to know about it. Except the Lord. Maybe, probably my wife. My wife probably will know. But there's not going to be too many because I don't want to sway my decision. Right? When it comes up and it looks like it's a wacky decision that I'm going to make here. And I've heard from the Lord. I want to say, you know what? The Lord showed me right here. And He spoke to my heart on this scripture right here. And that's why I'm going that way. It's not because the popular, let's take a vote. Let's take a vote and let's see what Fred should do, right? It's not that kind of thing. We want to hear from the Lord. We want to ask the Lord. We want to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. And so this overflowing to the others. And he said all, verse 9 there, I'm sorry, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He knew. He knew that he hadn't asked the Lord before. And then the Lord came back and gave him a second chance. Isn't that the Lord? He's so gracious. Comes back, gives us a second chance. He allows us to be blessed. And Simon here understands it. He understands that he's a sinful man. He's very undeserving of anything that he has here, any of these blessings. But Jesus already knew that. See, our Savior knows that we're undeserving of His blessings. But He does it anyways. He gives us some blessings. For he and all who were with him were astonished. They were amazed at the catch. This isn't something they saw before. This wasn't something that they could muster up and go out and get this catch. They've never seen this before. They were astonished by it. Wow. You mean when I trust the Lord, He astonishes? Absolutely. He does. He astonishes us. And so also were James and John. See, the blessings came to Simon, right? But guess who saw it too? James and John. Do you think it impacted their lives? I think it impacted Peter's life, and then it impacted these guys' lives. It's a progression. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, from now on you will catch men. So here's back in Matthew, remember, be fishers of men. I want you to follow me and you'll become fishers of men. You know, fishing is fun when you're fishing for fish, right? But Jesus is saying, it's even better. It's even better. You thought the thrill and the victory of filling them boats was something? Let me tell you. When you catch men, right, that's what I'm all about. You know, I want to catch men for eternity. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. They learned here that if Jesus says it, they're going to go. And when they get there, Jesus is going to tell them what to do. And they're going to lay their nets down. And bingo, they're going to catch what Jesus wants them to catch. Right? So you'd think, okay, so here's Peter. He sees the hand of God work, and he says, I'm definitely depending on the Lord. I'm going to do what the Lord says. From now on, that's me, right? I'm going to ask him. I'm going to request of him. He's going to lead me, and I'm going to ask him. I'm going to continue to ask him. But let me take you to this portion of John chapter 21. We see here in chapter 20 of John, actually, is the empty tomb. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. We see Mary Magdalene come and she sees the risen Lord. We see the apostles come and we see doubt in Thomas that Jesus is who he says he is, right? And what does Jesus say? You know, he just says here, reach your fingers here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, in verse 27 of chapter 20, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. He said, here I am. I want to prove myself to you, Thomas. You know, we always get down on Thomas, right? But I guarantee you there was other disciples that stood there and went, right, scratched their head and said, is this really the guy? But Thomas spoke up and said, hey, show me. I'm from Missouri, right? The show me state. So Thomas was the one we always say, doubting Thomas, but Jesus delivers. He shows him himself. That's why I say, if you've got something that you're doubting today about the Lord, you want an answer from him. Ask him. It's time to ask him. Don't just sit there and not ask him. But here we are, 3.5 years later. Jesus is crucified. He's buried. He rises, and we have proof that he rose. Right? We know that many, besides these guys, 500 or so, in the book of Acts says that they actually saw him. Okay? So, here we are, 3.5 years later, and we're going to meet Peter again. It says in verse 1 of 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee. And in the way he showed himself, Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Canaan, in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and the others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. Sound familiar? Sounds like Peter's doing the same old thing over again. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because I do that too. And I'm sure you do that. When we've asked the Lord for something, man, he's delivered. We've seen him work in a situation, yet the next time the situation occurs, what do? We frantically run around like chickens with their heads cut off, right? And we think, there's no way. It feels so impossible, or we feel so overwhelmed. And it's like, wait a minute. Did you ask the Lord? Well, no. Well, what do you expect? Right? So we got to get back to the Lord and ask Him. So let's not pick on Peter here, because we're very similar, I think, in nature. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered, "No." And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it there, and none. Now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. It's something, isn't it, that we forget sometimes to ask the Lord. Even after all of Peter's experience with Jesus, even after the faithfulness of the Lord to Peter, he forgot. Even after the proof of what He had done for them, the resurrection, even after Jesus proven Himself to them many occasions over, He forgot to ask. He was just going fishing, and He was forgetting to ask the Lord for help. And we find ourselves in a tough position sometimes, because we forget. We forget to ask the Lord. Let's see. He died. Right? They buried Him. He rose. Do you think He can do something in your life? Do you think He can resurrect something in your life that is worth living? Right? Do you think He can use you? He can. We just got to ask Him. We just got to ask Him, "Lord, will You use this vessel?" Right? The Scripture is very clear that we need to be crucified in Christ in order to live. We need to give up this life in order for us to live. Jesus paid the ultimate price. He gave up His life so that we could live. Now it's our turn. It's now our turn to say, "Lord, I'm willing to give up this life that I call mine, to give it up so that I call it Yours." We need to make those choices. You know, just as this book is useless if we don't apply its principles to our lives, you know, we can also say that about the resurrected Christ. You know, He died for everybody's sin. But if we don't utilize it, we don't call out to Him and ask Him, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, I repent of my sin. Lord, I turn away from my sin and I want to follow You." You know, one of the things that we can learn from Peter and Andrew, James and John, is that when Jesus called them, Jesus didn't just call them the first time He met them, but there's a progression of time. They heard Him, they seen Him, and they saw His miracles. They witnessed certain things about Jesus, and there came a point in time when it was the time, the appointed time, in a sense, that He would ask them, "Follow me, give it up, and follow me." And maybe you haven't reached that point yet, and maybe Jesus has just shown Himself progressively through your life. You've had it happen, but you haven't accepted Him. I think this morning is it for you. He wants you to come, and He wants you to know Him. Not what everybody else says about Him, but He wants you to know Him, the Bible, the biblical Jesus, right? And so if you haven't received Him today, certainly be around to pray. If you have some issues that you just want to talk through, maybe that are hindering you, that are holding you back from being fulfilled in the Lord, being fully used by the Lord, come talk to us, you know? But Jesus died for you. What a shame that He would die for you and you wouldn't utilize that forgiveness that He has granted you. Only if you receive Him, like any good gift, right? It's only a gift is received. So the gift of Jesus is received. And if we're willing to receive Him, He's there for us. He's willing to come in. He's just waiting for you to receive him.